Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here's a staggering figure. People in the U.S. owe nearly $1.7 trillion in student loan debt, according to the Federal Reserve. That's more than the nation owes in credit card debt or car loans. During this pandemic, payments on federal loans were temporarily halted until January, and the incoming Biden administration has said it would support some kind of student loan forgiveness. Joining us to take a look at those plans and the possible solutions to high student loan debt is Kevin Carey, Director of Education Policy at the think tank New America. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
And Kevin, this is a very basic but important question. Why are we seeing an increase in student loan debt?
There are multiple reasons. State governments have pulled money out of their public university systems, particularly after the Great Recession. And so a lot of public colleges and universities have increased tuition to make up the difference, and students have had to borrow in order to pay that increased tuition, especially because the economy hasn't done that well over the last 10 years for middle and lower income families. A lot of people lost wealth during the housing crash, never got it back. And so people didn't have home equity or other sources of savings to draw on. So they had to take out loans. Mm-hmm. Also, I think, we live in a time where there's really no path to a good career that doesn't require some kind of degree, whether it's a four-year degree, a two-year degree, or something else. And so the demand for higher education continues to surge because of that lack of any kind of alternative. And so colleges are in a position to charge more prices if they want to. And so they've been doing a lot of that as well.
To your point about debt burden, it's not really equally shared, though. There are massive inequities between white students, for example, and black students, as well as other students of color, and both how students borrow and their ability to actually pay it back. Can you talk a little about that?
No, that's exactly right. And we've actually seen that problem get worse. There was a report from the Roosevelt Institute recently that said that from 2000 to 2018, among recent college graduates, the wealth gap between black recent college graduates and white recent college graduates has actually increased over time. And it's because black students borrow a lot more money to go to college. And that's because black households have suffered under a long history of discrimination in our country. We think about all the ways in housing discrimination, for example, where people couldn't build up any home equity because they weren't allowed to buy houses in certain neighborhoods, or they were charged very high interest rates, to the point where even, often if you have two families, one white, one black, of similar income, the wealth is very different, and people pay for college with their savings, with their wealth. And so black mm-hmm. families have had to borrow more to go to college. They're also more likely to be recruited by predatory for-profit colleges. And it can be harder for them to get a job in the labor market after they graduate, which means it's harder to pay your loans back.
Mm-hmm. What has the incoming Biden administration signaled they're willing to work on regarding this?
President-elect Biden recently said that he supports legislation that was introduced in Congress earlier this year that would forgive the first $10,000 of people's student loans. Part of the rationale there is that many of the people who actually struggle the most to pay their loans back don't have huge loans. Often they've dropped out of college or they might have, gone to a bad for-profit college that charged them too much money. So just by forgiving the first $10,000, we could take care of a lot of people that are in delinquency or in default, while not giving too much money to high dollar borrowers who tend to be people who go to, say, law school or medical school and usually actually can pay their loans back just fine. He's also supported very ambitious legislation that would make many public colleges and universities free for people who make less than $125,000. Double the size of the federal Pell Grant program for low-income students. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Biden administration to act quickly, particularly if there's a divided Congress. The issue of student debt was enormously important in the primary campaign. You could argue that Senator Bernie Sanders came close to the Democratic nomination twice on the issue of college affordability and student debt, both Chuck Schumer, the highest ranking Democrat in the Senate, and Senator Elizabeth Warren, you know, another prominent Democrat, have called for forgiving the first $50,000 of student loan debt. And so I think debt forgiveness would be a way for the Biden administration to do something dramatic, do something early, and signal to the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that it's serious about their concerns.
You know, Kevin, there are also questions of fairness to those who have recently paid off their loans. If some form of student loan forgiveness goes into effect, are those valid concerns?
I think they are valid concerns. If you pick a moment in time and forgive all the debt that exists on that day, then you're not giving the same benefit to someone who was in a similar circumstance and paid their loans off a few years ago. You're also not giving the same benefit to people in the future. And, you know, one of the dilemmas I think the Biden administration will face is that it's going to be pretty difficult to get comprehensive reform legislation through a divided Congress, particularly if the Republicans maintain control of the Senate. There are some people who believe the Department of Education can actually unilaterally write down loans, since the vast majority of all student loans are held by the U.S. federal government. But then, you know, you're kind of solving the symptom, but you're not solving the underlying problem. And also, it's important to know that most loans are not taken out by students going to public colleges and universities. They're either people who go to private schools, which tend to be more expensive, or people going to graduate or law school, which tend to be more expensive. And so we'd be forgiving those loans now, but not in the future. And I do think those fairness issues start to make the politics tricky.
Kevin, if we do nothing about this problem of expanding student debt, what does the future look like?
I don't think that we can just go on forever as we are now, where debt just continues to pile up and pile up and pile up. I don't think the political system will stand for it. It's a drag on the ability of young people to start their careers and buy houses. It's bad policy. We want a more educated population. And it's not fair. You know, we had in this country for, you know, many decades a system where, you know, you could go to a public university and either by saving a little or, you know, working your way through college, get that degree and start your life without debt. And we don't have that anymore. I think people want to go back one way or the other. So I think it's a question of if not when these reforms will happen. But making policy in Washington, D.C. is never easy. So when exactly that happens is a little hard to tell.
That's Kevin Carey, Director of New America's Education Policy. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Student loan debt is just one of the many issues the incoming Biden administration has said it's taking on, including an ambitious plan for his first 100 days in office. Here he is speaking about the pandemic the Friday after Election Day.
I want everyone to know on day one, we're going to put our plan to control this virus into action. We can't save any of the lives lost, any of those who have been lost, but we can save a lot of lives in the months ahead.
In his first 100 days, Biden has promised a vaccine distribution plan and has asked Congress for a new aid bill to address the economic impacts of this pandemic. He also says he will rejoin the World Health Organization in the Paris Climate Accord. Biden also promises to roll back President Trump's corporate tax cuts and to strengthen the Voting Rights Act. And he's promised to tackle police and criminal justice reform by creating a National Police Oversight Commission and working to reform sentencing and probation. We will follow all of President-elect Biden's promises and his actions once he takes office.